If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. It is a Brownlow leading into grand final edition of the Super Footy Podcast. And for that, there is always questions over selection. There's always a race against time. And today we lost the race against time. We're later in recording than normal. But we do have freshly trimmed Sam Edmund.
Good to be here, Sammy. Hello. Thanks, mate.
And just making his second appearance in the grand final podcast, or maybe third, is Mick Warner.
G'day, boys. Yes, and we are a little bit late because the Bulldogs this morning, NFL style, opened up the club.
You can speak to NFL style.
NFL style, which is what, funnily enough, if the players get their way, Sammy, on this pay war they're having with the AFL, that'll happen every week.
How good would it
which
be?
Would be? And look, it's not that hard, is it? The players enjoy it. We got to speak to every player we wanted down there.
The players enjoy it, do they?
Well, they find it's not as confronting as you think.
Right.
There was only one player that dragged his feet in getting in there. So happened to be the only player I wanted to speak to.
Who was that?
Well, it was the very media shy Tom Liberatore, who said he might have had a sore throat, needed to go home, and then he was late, and then eventually he was really good. A different sort of interview, I will add, but the players were relaxed, weren't they? Mixed
yeah.
We did the exact
well,
same thing today.
You would be too relaxed if you're in the Monday of grand final week.
Well, but I don't know, would you?
I don't know if you...
Well, you'd be better than
I
the alternative
not sure
than five cans in at some local pub.
Well, that's
in
true.
Mad Monday. But
Sydney did their thing and got Isaac Heaney on the phone, and it's great. You know that's the lot of time he got, and we will drip feed him out throughout the week.
How would you be if you were in grand final week, seriously, if it was the Monday and you were playing in an AFL grand final, Mick?
Well, I'm not sure.
Think about that for a second.
Go back to my D2 reserve amateur days, so I was pretty toey.
Yeah?
No, it's the perfect result. We got the Dogs versus the Swans. Well, if we'd had an All-Sydney grand final or your mob Geelong, it would have been pretty boring. But
imagine the amount of plays on Worsley would have had if it was the Dogs and Cats.
Did the Cats play on the weekend?
And it rained.
Well, as it turned out, it wouldn't have been much of a game if it was the Cats.
We've had their measure all year. Would have been a comfortable victory.
Did not fire a shot.
No, they were Scheisenhaus.
Yeah.
They were poor.
But let's talk about what...
Let's talk about Richmond.
It was the best game I've ever seen. There you go.
The best game you've ever
Absolutely seen. Absolutely by a mile. And I don't mean in terms of, you know, the skills and the scoring. It was just the pressure.
Well,
from
the
start to the finish, he couldn't get a kick out there. It was just absolutely epic. And I don't know how they did it, the Dogs. When
epic,
they were 14 points down, I thought they're gone. But they found a way.
Epic is overused. In fact, I'm told that the young generation, epic's a big one. Epic fail, all that sort of stuff.
It was epic.
But it was epic, wasn't it?
It was tight.
You couldn't breathe. And I was watching it from my couch. Sammy, you were lucky enough to be there.
I was there as well.
You were there, Hutto.
How good was it, Sammy, to be there?
It was... How many? 20,000?
21.
Felt like about 200,000.
Yeah. So it wasn't even sold out.
So the AFL got it right, didn't they?
They always get it right, Hunter.
Well, before you blokes were sooking up last week, well, Mick was anyway.
No, I wasn't. That was the Chief.
The Chief was sooking up.
I actually had
spoken to Mick's favourite media manager, Patrick Keane, who educated me on
how many
usually travel.
Yep.
You know, how many go and all that sort of stuff, why they're having it there. And he had me convinced, sure enough, they were not only proving
to
be right.
He had you in the low, did he?
But I was lucky to get in the ground, actually, Hutto. I had a bit of a horrible weekend, as it turns out.
Did you lose your pass or something? I
did a U. I channeled my inner Anthony Hudson and landed in Sydney, and I saw my colleague Wayne Ludby, a very, very good photographer from the Herald Sun, fiddling with his media pass. I went, my media accreditation. And I'd left it back in Melbourne. And I panicked, you know, that cold sweat.
Oh, yeah.
I only left your media accreditation at home for the second biggest game of the year that's a sellout that people will be frozen out of, all that sort of yada yada. Anyway, I ended up getting in on a ticket that thankfully I have to thank AFL's Michelle Klein for doing that. But she basically had to shadow me everywhere because the security was that tight up there.
Right.
And it led to all sorts of issues at the end of the game under deadline pressure, trying to sneak back into the Dogs' rooms when the SWAT team effectively flat-jacketed cop said, mate, nice try, but you can't come in. No, no, I've really got my accreditation, but I left it in Melbourne. No, mate, nice try, come with us. Escorted out, but anyway.
Where did you leave the accreditation? Somewhere where someone else could have found it for you?
It's like when you're...
You taking a photo of it and sending it, and then at least you could have shown it. Yes.
It's like when someone does a big running race or a football game or cycling, whatever it is, never change what's been a winning formula. I changed my bag the night before the game and transported everything across except for...
Yeah, well, I must admit, I can't criticise you at all.
Well, at least you've got a finals accreditation. Yeah.
I've got to say, just on Spotless and the AFL being right on it, there was one thing they got horribly wrong, and I just want to quickly jump to my beacon rewind if I can. Mm. And that is Spotless Stadium running out of beer at half time of a preliminary final, which stuff getting people locked out of the game. You run out of beer, that's as un-Australian as it gets, I would have thought. So the dog supporters, Mick.
Yes.
The biggest moment of their lives for many of them, and they can't even celebrate it.
Well, it was probably good for them. They just
stayed sober. Oh, you can remember
moments like that.
What, seriously, your team's in a preliminary final. You had a few beers at half time.
Well, if you're lucky.
Do you really need another couple of beers to enjoy the greatest football moment of your life up until now? I wouldn't have thought so.
Football without beer.
Walk out. You don't drink when you go to the footy, do you? You're working.
That's right, I am working. Jeez. But if I was a punter and my team had just made their first grand final...
You can't run out of beer, Hutto. That's outrageous.
And how could they run out of beer?
Well, they didn't order enough.
Wouldn't you go, we'll order X... times,
but
whatever.
This is Victorians who are heading north. Yeah. They weren't used to this.
Doggy support.
I ran out of beer on the couch.
It's been a running joke.
I only had
on
two
podcast.
Beers in the
we
fridge.
We know what the crowd's normally like. It's 10-1-9-8 every week. Well, instead, it was 21-1-9-8.
They didn't quite have the
they didn't budget.
Logistics or mechanics in place to do that. Well, my beacon rewind then, while we're doing that, is the non-50-metre penalty, which has got a little bit of... I did notice it late yesterday and thought I was going to bring it as a podcast exclusive, but unfortunately... Chris-O had it on his radio show this morning, and it's gone on the AFL website and around, I'm sure. But it was a clear with a minute 51
to
go.
So the game is Dogs-Giants.
Dogs-Giants. 5 points the difference. So the Dogs in front by 5. Free kick in the middle to Tom Scully. Mark a free kick. It might have been a mark. Yeah, the ball was kicked in on the
right end. In the middle.
Right in the middle, just behind the centre circle. And Johannesson is probably 15, 20 metres behind. And he runs through the mark. Probably
well within the 10 metres.
A metre and a half.
Yeah. As he's kicking.
It's a stupid rule that anyway.
Stupid rule, but this was a clear example of what it's designed for, because it actually stops Scully kicking on the angles, and he was oblivious to it. The umpire didn't notice it. And look, it's great for the story that it didn't pay, but he would have been having a shot for 35 metres.
That would not have gone down well, Hutto.
To put them in front.
Now, that's a rule that seriously has been... There was a game recently, it's escaped me though. Was it a Richmond game at the death? Really
close? It was the Richmond Geelong one.
Yep. That was one that...
Cochin had the ball right at the end.
It was less obvious than this. This was more obvious.
But that shows you that the rule is a dog's breakfast, because it's too open to interpretation. Thank God they got it right. My beacon rewind, Stuart Cramery. Seriously, Stewie, his wedding is on Friday night, and none of his teammates can attend, obviously, because they're playing in a grand final.
So what's he doing? He's still going ahead?
He's just going to have a few less people at his wedding.
Maybe that was all part of the plan.
Well, what I think might have happened
is... Cut the catering costs.
timing isn't his forte.
I suspect he's another victim of Gil's spy. And he thought that the season would have ended the last Saturday in September, like it should.
I suspect the real truth is that he thought their season would have ended well and truly.
Yes. But anyway, Stewie, big couple of days for him.
Cheaper wedding, though, for him, as Hutto alludes to.
Well, no, I think it's what it probably paid for.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah, I must admit, we had a family wedding on Friday night, can you believe? Last Friday night.
During a prelim.
My nephew got married.
That's a crime.
My wife... Geelong supporter had to go and represent me with our kids.
Well, you were luckily working.
And it's fair to say she was fairly flat about that, but went. And then by 10 minutes into the first quarter, she texts me, I'm at the right place, you're at the wrong place. And that wasn't far off the truth.
I think people who book weddings around this time of the year need a good hard look at themselves.
No Australian?
Maybe Derby Day's the only worst other day. Mm. But what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But, well, good
for
luck.
The first time ever I'm with this.
Well, yeah. What about the dog? I mean, you talked about the game itself being unbelievable, and it was. And we'll look ahead properly to the grand final. But Who are the heroes for you guys out of the game?
Well, there's one guy that's not as obvious, but he jumps out in my brain because of the relative that was sitting next to me in the press box. I'm referring to Zane Cordy and Neil Cordy, who of course has a foot in both camps and now is a great journo for the Daily Telegraph up there. But I've just, this will be burning my brain forever. Those two snaps from Zane Cordy, the ball sort of fell.
Very casual, weren't they, too?
They were, but he was just
there we go.
The first one especially was a belter. And there's Neil next to me just going, Zane! Like calling it a good 5 seconds before it even went through. It was just like,
well, where he and Tom Boyd were, you know, mid-year when they were punching each other up at the pub to both play. Boyd's game can, I mean, it's unbelievable. With the big fella going off. To be able to do that.
I was crafting the match report and I had it written down in front of me that we've had in the Western Bulldogs tortured preliminary final history, we've had goals that weren't, we've had missed opportunities, we've had comeback horrors. Now we're going to have a ball kicked into their one ruckman's eye from 10 metres out that's going to cost them the game. Because I thought, boy, there's no way he was going to get monstered by Mumford. Yeah. He was going to have to ruck for nearly three
Mummy was a bit off, wasn't he?
Mummy was disappointing.
He blew up a bit. And Ward evened it out when he got knocked out.
Well, that was, did he? Ward is a tremendous player. Well, they you lose your ruckman?
Cementhead is... he would have been pretty handy in the last quarter.
Given
mate.
The way the game last two quarters. Was played, yeah. I think he was a huge loss.
For me, it was just the fact that the Dogs knew they could not let the Giants run. So they just didn't. It was just contest after pressure, and they very rarely got out.
The biggest hero of them all might have been Clay Smith. Dalhouse was for four quarters. Smith.
Oh, yeah, wasn't he superb? And I thought Johansson in the last quarter was...
When he put the head down and just put in front of the bont.
He seemed to be running so much faster than anybody else. Yeah. I know that can happen and when you know, play, you suddenly get a surge on, but he was absolutely incredible. And the young young boy McLean, and we'll get to
will
it.
Will he play?
Well...
They've got some selection dilemmas.
I think he'll play, but... I think they want Ling John to play as well. And you just can't see who else is going to go out.
And Suckling, they'll want to play as well. So there's.
I think he's in trouble, Suckling.
Yeah. Jeez, I was lucky he wasn't selected, really, rather than injured.
It was a bit of both.
My mail.
Achilles management as well as the matchups, so they thought, well,
Fletcher
perfect.
Roberts.
And look, the matchups aren't as obvious this week, are they?
Who plays on Buddy?
Well, but Fletcher Roberts has to be a contender to play on Buddy. I mean, if he can play on Jeremy Cameron, I know they're different players, but.
Did he play on Jeremy Cameron? Oh, I was with you that he did.
I want to get the match up.
They sort of...
I had Hamling on him for a while as well, even more. You know, it's like they chop and change a bit. But
I thought he was more on Cameron than anybody else.
I wrote one name down.
Last time Adams played on Buddy.
Well, so he'd be handy, but he's gone.
That's no guy.
Toby Green, he's a superstar. Now, I've watched him closely this year as All-Australian, but his game as a permanent half-forward is off the charts.
How much... Would Stevie J have changed things, do you think? Any? Much?
Oh, I don't know. Who came into the side for him?
Reece Palmer. That's what I think it would have made a difference.
Yeah, especially with his experience.
Another forward that required.
It's hard to be... he was the other option as my beacon rewind, but it's hard to be that critical of him because the physical imprint he put on that first game was significant.
You play the game on the edge, that you run that risk, don't you?
Yeah.
But that's what you're right. That's part of the.
Dalhouse was magnificent too, wasn't
he? Dalhouse is amazing. His ability to extract the ball out of tiny places is unbelievable. He's squeezing it through players' legs, for heaven's sake. Like that bit of play in the third quarter where Caleb Daniel.
They just fight.
Kicked that goal after Clay Smith and Ryan Griffin body-lined inside the Western Bulldogs forward line was just an amazing passage.
And on the Giants, I'm pleased that they didn't get through.
Here we go.
You know, but now to me, it's kind of like, okay, you've experienced some real pain. So
they've earned their stripes now?
Yes, they have a little bit. They've become more of a, authentic football club. Yeah. Because they've experienced this pain and they'll go away. And if they'd gone all the way through, as I told you, it wouldn't have sat right with me.
My question is on the Giants. How much better will they be next year than this?
10%, 20% better.
A lot better. There's natural development. Regardless of who they add, they're going to be a lot better, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, there is. They'll lose a couple, probably just around the edges. Mm. Pat Fuller retire, I suspect.
Yep.
Guys that aren't getting a game.
Stevie March J may not go on.
Linked to Richmond, I believe.
As a player?
No, as a coach.
As a coach. Yeah.
He'll go again.
Assistant coach.
Well, Leon talked about it, but I'm not 100% convinced. I think you'd probably say yes rather than no if Leon's saying it in a post-match. My understanding is he was very much up in the air going into the weekend, but if they won, I think he would have definitely retired. If they won the grand final, he would have definitely retired. But Yeah, so maybe now he probably feels they're unfinished business. I do think he believes that 1 year, you know, he has an issue with the 1 year. He would really like to be there for two, but there is, I think there is a bit of a pull to come back to Melbourne, yep. And if the coaching offer's there.
The offer's there to coach up there as well,
isn't it? It is, but I don't think he'll coach up there. I think he'll come back
don't?
To coach.
Okay. Yeah. Jeez, Leon Cameron spoke really well. Did you go down after the game?
Did you press? Did you get in there for that?
No, it was a battle, but yes, I did.
They'll be up there, Hutto, you know that for the next decade.
Oh no, I do agree with that with all the picks they're going to. But no, I'm purely talking about next year. How much better will they be next year? Because there is a salary cap squeeze. So
yes,
what if Rory
Lobb
left? What if they do lose a couple of those?
We
players?
Don't want to lose.
Well, if Rory Lobb leaves, I'll get pick 5 or something like that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about next year. So that's
And
they'll lose a couple of those other players. Like Tomlinson is still no absolute guarantee to stay.
Hmm.
I think if you're in that side, you're getting a game even mad to leave.
Yeah.
So if you're Rory Lobb and you're leaving, I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Was there any lessons for them? I mean, Jeremy Cameron obviously played a stinker.
Yeah.
Heath Shaw was well accounted for by having to play on a good player.
Yeah.
Dixon, amazing.
Defensively, they're still a little bit, they back themselves a little bit too much at some stages.
Well, there was that one near the end.
Yeah.
Where Haynes
left his man.
Went for the mark. And
which is the way they play.
Being McRae.
Yeah. They'll be better for that.
Small margins. Really
it is.
Small
margins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every time it went inside the Giants forward 50, I don't know, you had, I thought they were going to score.
Mm.
Like, they just couldn't get it in there enough. The Dogs' territory, as we know, is supreme.
They're phenomenal at keeping it in, weren't they?
Yeah, they keep it in, they press. And for a long time, periods of the game, Giants couldn't get it out. It was just coming back in with interest all the time. But every time they did get it in there, you just thought Lobb was going to mark it.
Yep.
Patton kicked
Patton's
four.
Gone There's flying a... past Jeremy Cameron this year.
Oh, hasn't he? He's
just
had a
saying
good,
something.
Mm.
He's had a good season, so... No shortage of nickel in the game either, Hutto. Plenty of words exchanged out there.
Yeah,
There's no love lost.
It was aggro, right?
We might hear more about that as the weeks roll on, once the Doggies campaign's finished.
Mm. Well, it was fascinating. And there was a game on Friday night, which we don't really need to talk about, so let's look ahead to Saturday.
That was Geelong, miserable. Who's Geelong's third best player?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Harry Taylor?
Yeah, well, if he is, that's a problem because
Tom Hawkins will be the third highest paid player.
Yeah, well, he had
it. It was tough night for forwards, the way they played, the way they brought it into 50. But there's no doubt Tom Hawkins he's not a dominant.
No,
forward.
Well.
Is it just me?
Oof.
Or is Steve Johnson the most frustrating player in the competition? And I say that half.
Steve Johnson.
Steve Motlop.
Oh, so I thought you'd just gone off topic. We thought we were onto a good topic.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I was Steve, for it to end. Go back to the gym.
It's been a long season. Steve Motlop. And I say that
he's a whipping boy.
Half in compliment because he's so supremely talented. And yet we just don't see what he's capable of. Whether he just gives the impression that when he's not playing well, he's laconic or he doesn't care, he's disinterested.
The bizarre thing was that we all know he came back not in great shape this
God.
Year. Got in shape and he played against the game he played against Adelaide in round 8 or 9 or whatever was super. And I thought he's finally knuckled down and whatever. And then since then he's just been up and down, mainly down. And I think.
But why is it always his fault? He's the only player we mention whenever they lose.
Because he's supremely talented.
He's an amazing player.
There's 15 other reasons that they lost.
No, there is. But
and he, the way he plays. He relies on the work of others.
No, not entirely. He can really
at his best.
Look, I know what you're saying, but there's others.
He's a 25 disposal, 3-4 goal player at his best.
Sure, you've been. I think he should have been dropped. I think Luke Beveridge has shown a great roadmap for coaching.
Yeah.
Should have been dropped this year, Steve.
Yeah.
Would have liked to have seen, whether for him or not, Cockatoo come in as well to the side. But anyway.
Well, he's one of the guys who should be in the conversation as their third best player. But we just don't know who their best young. I mean, Guthrie probably
should be in the conversation. But look,
they wanted
to play Cockatoo, but they just felt they couldn't on the amount of footy that he played. And I think they made another selection error in not playing Kirsten. I think he showed faith in Kirsten through to about round 16 or 17, and then sort of dropped him, and then didn't really only brought him back for a couple of games. And I just think. To ask, I was one, and we both talked about Henderson playing forward through the year, but they didn't play him there. So to expect him to come out
from injury,
the back of an injury, and look, you would expect him to play better than what he did.
Yeah, it was
but
shocking.
To be that player, I think that structurally they were poor.
When
they
you bad lose a prelim like that, you're miles off it, aren't you?
It feels like it, doesn't it?
So what do you do with Bartell, even Enright? I know he was all Australian, but you know.
Ironically, Bartel was one of your better players.
He was.
Yeah. So you keep him?
Well, he was definitely. They definitely considered his position in the team. There's no doubt he was one of the two or three players that they were considering not playing. But, well, they got no choice. They have to keep him because he's got a contract. And I think there's every likelihood he's going to back himself in to play unless they say to him, we'll pay you out and fully and you play. And you
may as well keep him, though, if that's the case.
Yeah, we might as well keep him.
Yeah.
Enright's reaction at the end
would suggest that he's
done.
He's done. But to me, you'd give him the option. I mean, he's played super footy.
Daniel Wells, free agent. Would you go and get him?
No, I wouldn't get Daniel Wells.
Right.
But sort of player that Geelong need, though.
Deledio.
I think if you could get Pierce Hanley, you'd get him.
But Wells you can get for nothing because he's a free agent. Pierce Hanley.
But you still got to pay him. You got to fit him in your cap.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the cap goes up a fair bit next year once this pay deal's finalised, but anyway.
Hugely deflating for me, Geelong. I did not expect that anyway.
No,
I don't think anyone supporter you'd be shattered with that.
Picked it. It was over 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah, not as. And look, they had their chances to get back into the game, and look, they're probably never going to win, but.
72 inside 50s.
Yeah,
and a lot of them under immense pressure. That's a Sydney trademark.
Yeah.
But the ball gets bombed in there. They play on the counter attack, Sydney. They just walk right in the trap, Geelong.
They did, yeah. And.
So how's the granny play out with these two midfields, Gay Hammer and Tong?
Well, if we... Yeah, we'll talk about the granny.
Well, we can. I mean, we haven't really discussed Sydney's own performance, but I guess we can use that in talking about the granny. And I suppose what I mentioned about Ling Jong, about whether he plays or not for the Dogs, because the depth and toughness of the Swans midfield is amazing, really.
It would make him a good pick, but how's Jong on the weekend? Best on ground in the VFL, straps the good shoulder.
Yeah, the old...
old Casey Scorpion's going for... I've never heard of that happening, Otto. Is that a... I thought that was ingenious.
No, it is an old... It's an old yeah. Charlie Sutton did it, I think, going back all those many
Worked
years.
Worked a treat, too.
Yeah.
So, he was in the thick of it, Jongy, and you would think, being a hard head, he'd be pretty handy... against those bigger bodies of the Swans, but you're going to have to take someone out. Toby McLean was good.
So does he tag, if he plays, is he there as a tagger to tag Kennedy? I mean, Geelong, Scott Selwood played on Kennedy, and Kennedy was nowhere near as good as he was the week before. But then Luke Parker was fantastic, and Hanbury was Hanbury, and that depth again, that Heaney's obviously added freshness to their mix.
As well as he played, I wasn't convinced he was 100%, John. He just looked sore. And so you don't take sore players into grand finals.
For me, Suckling has to come in. I think he will.
Not sure.
I just think they'll play him. The only player on the list with grand final premiership experience, I think he'll come in. And they've managed him all year with the Achilles, just my guess. For me, though, it's not about who the Dogs tag and don't tag in this game. This game's going to be decided by one fact, and that is how well the Dogs put the ball inside their 50-metre arc. So Geelong have 72 inside 50s. Sydney welcome the bomb ball, and they've done it all year. They're like the footies version of the biggest sponge you've ever seen. They soak up all the pressure. Buddy comes back to half-back, and they just sweep forward on the counter-attack. They did it to Geelong all night. The Dogs have a habit of putting the chaos ball inside 50 that somehow works, but if they can get those guys to lower the eyes, as they say in the classics, and hit up some targets...
Thanks, bud.
Then that's the key to winning. If they bomb it in, they could have 100 inside 50s and it won't be enough, I don't think.
But, I mean, the Dogs love to get it to live in there, don't they, too? That's the other thing.
Dogs are a territory-based team. They press in the forward half. Sydney aren't. Sydney conceded the most inside 50s this year of the top eight sides, so they're not worried about inside 50s. They back themselves to put the most pressure on that area of the ground, make you earn it. They know the ball's going to come in, and guys like Grundy are going to mark it, Rampy are going to mark it, and then it's off.
They need a Lear, don't they?
And a Lear trained
Massive question mark. Well, trained, did handballs. That's right. Didn't run.
Minor ligament strain. Normally, you wouldn't play.
Massive risk, I think.
So that means...
Pretty important. Look at the bottom end of the Sydney team, and look, they've not carried them's not the right word, but they've played with them all year.
So Teddy Richards could get a gig.
Yeah, I mean...
Would have to.
How's that?
Aaliyah has become such an integral part of that side.
So you've got Marsh, Aaliyah,
Grundy.
Laidler as well back there.
Yep.
So it's going to be...
Laidler, he could get squeezed out.
Well, he could get squeezed out.
Laidler has been good.
He was good on Friday night. Marsh has done his job. He's been fine. He hasn't...
And they're not going to drop...
They're not going to drop Jones. Would they bring Mills in, though?
Well, he's the other one. So now that would be now 3 weeks for Mills.
Three weeks. Be enough. Yeah, so
Mills.
If you look at it, it's it's
McVeigh.
Mills, McVeigh.
And McVeigh supremely confident.
And who's the other one?
The
other bloke.
Aaliyah.
Well, Aaliyah's the
Aaliyah played.
So from the team on the weekend, it's do they fit Mills and McVeigh in?
McVeigh definitely plays.
Well, he thinks so.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's... I'm not 100% sure that's a definite. I mean, if Mills is right and they're trying to work out their defence, who plays out of those two? Who's more valuable to their team, McVeigh or Mills?
Assuming that Jones doesn't come out. Yeah, so can it be both? Probably not. Oh, good problem to have.
Oh, tough problem to have.
Yeah, but McVeigh actually declared himself on your network, on Fox, before the preliminary final, saying, well, if this game was played a couple of days later...
Sunday, I'd be in.
I'd be in. Yeah. So he clearly thinks he's a walk-up.
Yeah, and it's a big call, isn't
How do you leave him out?
To leave your captain out, so... Yeah.
All right, well, my Is It Just Me is about Sydney. There's a great tweet by Sammy Landsberger. Sydney's finals run since 2003. 03 prelim, 04 semi, 05 premiership, 06 grand final, 07 elimination final, 08 semi-final. 09 is the only year they've missed the final. In 13 years they finished 12th. In 10 semi, 11 semi, 12 premiership, 13 prelim, 14 grand final, 15 semi, 16 grand final. That's ridiculous.
That
run.
Really finish your sentence.
Well, should we be talking about them in the Geelong Hawthorn category as best team and Brisbane as best team of the last 20 years?
They've got to be in.
If they win this one, that'll be three. So, that is a phenomenal run.
Depending on
run.
Where you're running from what time. They're definitely,
as a club, great club. They have had
the whole thing about they don't have to, they can never afford to, go down the bottom and rebuild. I thought that was ridiculous. I actually thought, going back 10 years ago, I was thinking, you just can't not do that. Yeah. And, the fans will just have to cop it for a few years and then come back. I thought this is just ridiculous. But they have just done it twice.
Academy.
Yeah, but also guys like Papley, who they've plucked from a rookie. I mean, the academy's helped, no doubt. But their recruiting is a leer.
Kinnear Beaton is a
gun.
This team is an absolute gun.
And so is the other bloke, Dalrymple at the Dogs.
Yep.
And I've said it all along, these guys should be earning twice as much money as they get. And they will if other clubs start poaching them.
What a big week it is for the 23 for Sydney, Lance Franklin. This is why they got him. Not just to put bums on seats, that's all great. Not just for ratings, not just for merchandise.
They need to win a flag with Buddy, don't they? To justify the recruitment.
I would have thought so. We have this debate in here all the time. I would say yes, absolutely. That's why they got him.
Third year, second grand final.
Yeah, that's all good, but they don't remember that, do they? They remember you winning premierships, right? Now, this time last year, obviously, he was in the... battling depression publicly. He's back now. He's at the peak of his powers.
Well, Carey said it was the best game he'd ever seen him play in the first half.
He was good.
Which is a big call.
And
he's played a few good ones. But
he's
fine.
Cool.
His recruitment has cost them players, and his recruitment will continue to cost them players.
Game down at Hobart where
don't talk about yourself.
I don't bring
16?
Yourself into
what was it, 13? How many?
Reenact it.
You know how many it was.
Good try, Nick. But, Mummy had to go. Tom Mitchell's going to go.
Well, that's the one. I mean...
They cannot let him go.
I was going to say,
superstar. Extractor.
He's gone.
Not since Paul Broderick
gone.
We've seen extraction like that.
G-A-W-N.
Oh, I know he's gone. But
they'll up the price.
They can't.
They have to.
There's nowhere to go.
You cannot let that guy go.
There's nowhere.
They are completely...
They're stuffed it, mate.
Jammed up.
Well, fine. Move someone on.
What should someone retire?
Retire someone like McVeigh.
Should McVeigh retire?
Absolutely.
For...
Of course he should.
What's his contract? No, he would be out of contract, wouldn't he? Just by year by
year.
Have to
be.
Probably.
They'll make it. He'll stay.
They're going to have to lift their game quite significantly.
$380 is what we've heard he's been offered, which is
insult.
That is insult money.
Well, there's other players that are out of contract in Sydney.
They can offer.
Absolute lower end of the scale who they cannot do it. They cannot do deals with yet.
What's going to happen when...
They're waiting still for the actual...
The actual number.
What it's going to be. And it's like, we thought it was going to be this, and now it's going to be this. And
What happens when Isaac Heaney's manager comes knocking and whenever it is and says, what about my next...
What about... The AFL has to tell every club before trade period how much money there is. It is absolutely outrageous.
A little while ago, about a month ago, that every single manager you speak to was saying, "Well, these clubs that these players of ours just have no idea. I can tell you they've got no idea whether they're coming or going or trading or being retired because the club doesn't know how many beans they've got to play.
But they won't tell them because they'll string it out to Christmas like they did last time.
And this is what's
going to
hold up.
And if Tom Mitchell leaves as a result of that, Royal Commission.
I heard he might be going to Geelong, actually.
For what? You haven't got a first rounder.
What are you going to give up?
He wants to surf down.
What are you going to give up down there? A couple of tickets to that Waterworld theme park down there.
I think Vardy's going to go to Sydney for him.
Oh, that's a good swap. It's good business.
Anyway, they cannot lose him.
So, who wins the grand final and why?
No idea.
The only reason I say Sydney is because I tipped them whenever we did it ages ago, so I'm sticking to my guns. But I didn't think the Dogs would get past the elimination final. So,
well, they wouldn't have if it wasn't for the bye, let's face it.
Really?
Well, you told us in an exclusive podcast item last week that the Victoria University got the injured players up.
They did.
So they wouldn't have played in that if it was the week before.
There's no doubt the bye's been a big factor. I mean, seventh to a grand final.
See how quickly you can turn around.
But I don't think that's got anything to do with whether they can beat Sydney or not. Sydney are just a bloody good side.
Being there helps. Being able to beat them.
Sydney are just a bloody good side. Although, Dogs have won their last two against Sydney, both at the SCG.
I think the Dogs... I don't know who I'm going to tip, right? But
the betting has to be $2 a piece.
Well, I don't know what it is. Is it Sydney are favourites, aren't they?
Why? Based on what?
Well, based on that they've been finished top of the ladder and
they're a hardened side with grand final experience.
They've got this grand final experience. But we talk about the depth. I reckon the Dogs have got more depth than the Swans.
Yes. Well, we just spoke both sides with difficult selection.
It's going to come down to that kick inside fit. The game will be played in the Dogs' half.
The other thing it comes down to, it has to. And I've never been in... I hate people talking about this. They're good in one quarter and bad in other quarters. But the start has to be absolutely critical. And going to that game on Friday night from a Geelong point of view, I said, as long as they can get a half-decent start and only be a couple of goals down at quarter time, I think we'll win. I'll be confident we'll run over them.
Bang.
And the Swans look tired. And that was the other thing that was extraordinary about that the Giants game on Saturday night. Early in the last quarter, you go, the Giants are tiring here a little. Like, just after they got in front and then they started... You're thinking they're the team with the break.
That should be fresher.
But they were tiring.
Yeah.
I guess the fear is from a neutral perspective, you don't want Sydney to do to the Dogs what Hawthorn did to Sydney.
Correct.
Do you? Just totally smack them. Yeah. Rabbit in the headlights. Which I don't think we'll get.
Well, remember what happened to Sydney, a couple of years ago, as you were saying. How much would that be a driving factor?
Oh, massive.
In the Swans' psyche, you think?
Oh, massive.
Yeah, Benny McGlynn, his last game, we hear.
Massive. Yeah, you speak to people in Sydney, and a lot of those players still say they're scarred by that. But the Dogs are they're fighters, aren't they? They fight.
Well, we haven't mentioned their coach. Yeah, I mean, he's a legend, this bloke, already. And he's only in his second year. But what he's been able to do, where that club's come from we've said it a million times, they're in full-blown crisis, and now they're in a grand final. It is ridiculous what they've achieved.
Brett Montgomery talked about it on the weekend. We had him on SEN, and he just talked about the game that he gets them to play. And he just said it's just brilliant.
They know their role?
Yeah, and it's more than just the role. I can't remember exactly what else he said. But it's not
there's
just
a clear mateship and camaraderie. Yeah, I know there would be in all sides, but there's a funny tight bond
in the defence. You talked about how many numbers. It was something like 17 players or 20 players went through that defence in the middle of the year when they just kept losing blokes. And they just
it's
knew
a
what
system
they had
rather
to
than
a
system, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
did he say why he got punted?
Well, not really. I mean, we tried to find out, but
he wouldn't go there.
Has
he got a club?
Oh, I think he has. Well, I don't know whether he has yet or not, but I think the two most likely would be the Tigers or the Suns.
Okay.
Or the Lions, I should say.
The Lions and the Suns or the Tigers and the Lions?
Tigers and the Lions. Oh, okay. So he's obviously a keen circus follower.
Oh, Jesus.
I think he's a great talent in terms of coaching. I think he'd be if they do get Chris Fagan for Brisbane, he'd be...
Is that happening?
As the offsider.
You across that one, Sammy? Is there any other news in football we need to be across?
Does it matter this week? I think this week we just worry about
that. What about tonight? There's a little medal that goes...
Final selections right here and now that we can replay next week on the pod, including Norm Smith.
Look, in the interest of consistency, I have to say Sydney, but don't bash me, people. I just love for the story for the Dogs to win. I've got down here Norm Smith medal question mark. Well, I'll go with Luke Parker.
I like Norm Smith, the guy gets off the chain, a lot of pressure going. This might be one of the lowest scoring grannies since the West Coast Sydney days. So yeah, I'm with you, Parker. He's my sort of normie type.
We're agreeing three or four. So Sydney wins
Not necessarily.
Well, give us a tip.
I just can't. It's going to be a draw. It's going to be a draw.
Can't be a draw.
You seen that final draw video?
I saw a little bit of it last night.
We should always have a draw. Sad we got rid of that. Extra time.
Rubbish.
Jeez, you're a peanut.
You didn't like coming back the next week?
I didn't.
Well, you'd be in Fiji calling the golf anyway.
I went to India to do the golf Commonwealth Games.
Oh, yeah.
And missed that second week.
So, Mick, dogs by a point.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going for the Bulldogs. I'm tipping the Bulldogs by 7 points. And Tom Liberatore to be the Will Smith medal.
What a story it would be.
With Toby McLean second.
Love it. Love it.
Okay.
Brownlow. Could this be, this is another, is it just me, could it be the most boring Brownlow in there? And all due respect to Paddy, because he thoroughly deserves a medal, but so thoroughly deserving of it is he that he could turn this night into an absolute snore fest.
Look, I've got another stat for you. In 98, Carey was $2 favourite, lost. 2001, McLeod, $2 favourite, lost. 2007, Ablett, $2 favourite, lost. Same again in 08 for Gazza. 2010, Swan, $2. Judd in 2011 was $2, didn't get it. So it's not a laydown Mazzia.
Dangerfield's not $2.
Yeah, I know. Don't spoil a good story. $1.19.
When he doesn't get 3 votes in round one against Hawthorn,
then we'll know.
Then it's on.
The is in.
I'm thinking I hope Dusty wins. Just for a personal financial 4,000 reasons to hope that.
Is there anyone else out there that...
They can win it. The second favourite's usually a chance, I reckon.
Yeah, so that's Dusty. Who else is...
But you scoffed at it. Rory Sloane can't win it, unfortunately.
Sam Mitchell always polls well.
Yeah.
Joel Selwood's had a really good... It'd be interesting to see what happens...
Well, that's what we want.
...with the votes there.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that there's been a winner, and didn't Cousins and Kerr or Cousins and Judd go 1-2 or 1-3?
Well, Bartell and Ablett.
So it can happen.
Joel's been top... five a lot of times.
Given that's a two-man Sam man Mitchell. Down there. Yeah.
Could win. He could win two Brownlows within 3 weeks.
Thanks, I just said that.
Did you? Sorry.
Not many other.
Max Gorn, 100-1. That's a shame.
Chance.
He shouldn't be 100-1.
He's a chance.
Oh, well, I would normally agree with you, except...
What, so you're telling me there's
Ruckman
a chance.
Don't poll.
Oh, well, Scott
don't
win,
don't poll. That was 1992, Mick.
How good would it be if Maxie gets like, you know...
Oh, I'd be
10 ahead or something.
Be like it? Richo's right.
He should have won that, Richo.
Who would accept it, the real Max Gorn or the kid from the NAB? Yeah.
Very good.
All right, anything else?
Maxi Gorn should take him as his date on the night. You know,
yeah, that's true.
That'd be very good.
Anything else on the trade front?
Ask me next week on the trade front.
I haven't heard anything.
Just worry about it.
Do you think Delidio's gone?
No, because what... What's Richmond going to want for him, do you think? It's got to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get a top 10
pick. Well, what? So you're not going to say, yeah, see you, Brett, he's pick 20, thanks a lot.
Well, why not? Richmond would have done that in the past.
What? I'd be very surprised.
You think Richmond will keep all their big name players will still be there?
Yeah, I do.
I reckon there'll be one gone.
Right. Speaking with inside information.
So it's him.
I don't know. I'm not saying definitively.
No. Well, who are their big names?
Well, I just think...
Martin, Rance, Cochin,
I think
Delidio,
in the end there'll be one guy. I could be wrong.
So one of Martin, Rance, or Cochin could go?
Well, Martin sounds like he's...
No, I'm just asking.
I'm just saying.
I'm just asking.
Hashtag.
They're going to have to pay him a lot of cash, Martin, if from what we're hearing, that he wants $1 million a year.
Especially once that Brownlow clause kicks in.
Well, Jeff Raines in 1980 was the... raging favourite, and he didn't get one vote.
Well, my favourite story of that is Luke Darcy. Did I tell you this story before?
Yes.
I have, haven't I?
But say it again.
I'm not going to repeat the same story. I did say it on the podcast, didn't I?
Luke Darcy, we should give credit for picking Luke Beveridge as the coach.
I saw that in your story, Mick. That was good.
It was intriguing, wasn't it?
I don't have to tell my Luke Darcy story again.
Well, it was bad the first time.
Right. Forget it,
I hope everyone enjoys the week. I reckon it's the best week to be in Melbourne.
You know
what
the weather forecast is, though, don't you?
I saw Friday. It was going to rain. It was horrendous.
That just adds to it.
Saturday's supposed to be clearing, though, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Now it says a few showers, potentially. 17. But Thursday, 14. And Friday, 14. And rain all day, which... Remember last year it was like 30 degrees at that festival of football, so... thank goodness the Dogs are in it, because if it had been the Giants and the Swans and it was a wet week in Melbourne...
With a public holiday, well, we could have all gone to Noosa.
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea. Maybe Fiji.
Oh.
All right, that's
still
it.
A chance to get on that trip too, huh?
Okay, good. I think. That's it for the Super Footy podcast. You can find us for one more week, Monday afternoon, on the Super Footy website, iTunes and SoundCloud. For all your other news, don't forget to follow at Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag TradeHQ to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. That's it for today. Have a great grand final week, everyone, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.